Father, again, we say thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength. We thank you for your life and the strength that you give us, Father. And we again ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through your word to each one of our hearts to encourage, establish, strengthen, correct whatever needs to be done in our heart and life, Lord. We ask that you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I spoke on this before, we got into Psalms 119, verses 1 through 5. But before I get back into that, I want to have you drop down to the bottom of the page there. And it gives the list there of what the Word of God does for you in each one of these sections. The first one is the blessedness of obeying the Word. The second section is cleansing by the Word. The third section is discernment by the Word. The fourth section is sense of personal insufficiency through the Word. Should be able to spend a lot of time on that one. How many know you have some personal insufficiencies? We won't get to that this morning. I wished we would, but we won't. The next one is the power of the Word of God in your life, victory through the Word in your life, rest and comfort through the Word, perseverance in the Word, the pricelessness of the Word in good and evil times, insights through the Word, the afflicted one sustained by the Word. There's another good one. Then it's eternity of the Word, wisdom through the Word. The Word is a lamp and a light for all occasions. Then it deals with the wicked and the Word of God, separation and deliverance through the Word, joy and communion through the Word, zeal for the Word, experience through the Word, salvation through the Word, perfection of the Word, and the last one, prayer and praise through the Word. Now, I think that pretty well covers every part of your life. The reason I handed these out is so you can take that home and read the 119th Psalm and begin to apply those things where you need it. I can pretty much guarantee that all of us are going through at least one of those things where you're at right now. And the Word of God will help affect that and change that. I think one of the reasons the Lord laid this on my heart is to stir up in us, all of us, a hunger for the Word of God greater than what you have now. God wants us hungry for the Word of God. Now, on page 1, the first section there, we're down. I'm going to start at reading at verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts that we should observe them diligently. The word commanded there means he has directed and appointed us to keep his precepts or instructions. In one place they call them prescriptions. Now, if you find something wrong with your body and you go to the doctor, he gives you a prescription. Are you going to take it or not? Well, most of us will. There are some of us that are stubborn and won't. That's true. But most of us will take that. Well, when the Word of God finds something wrong with you and then it gives you a prescription on how to fix it, why don't we do it? I guess that's a little too direct. It would be nice if you did do it. Is that nicer? That's his prescription for your position in the condition you're in right now in your life and in your walk with God. How many have a perfect day every day and don't need the Word of God? I didn't say that. You did. We all have them. We're human. We was talking about that in Sunday school. If you get up from right where you're at right now, spiritually, you get up and you walk out of that body, what's going to happen to it? It won't say anything either, will it? It won't stop you. It won't control you. So why do we let it... Oh, man. To keep your precepts, we should observe them diligently. The Holy Spirit told me this morning as I was looking at that again, He said, John, that's to have an attitude. You need to have an attitude about the Word of God that it's more important to you than anything else in this world. That means you're going to get diligent about going after it and doing something with it in your life. Get an attitude. Only the right kind. That's the right kind of attitude. It's just the same attitude you need to have if somebody comes and tries to talk you out from going to church. Which your body will do if you let it. How many have noticed that on Sunday morning you feel the worst of any day of the week? Of course, that has nothing to do with your enemy now, of course, does it? But see, your own flesh, he will use it against you and try and keep you from where you can get fed and get the anointing and get the Word of God in you so it can shut your flesh down. So get an attitude. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes. That means to hear, receive, and lovingly obey them. Now, verse 6, this is where we got to. So, then shall I not be put to shame by failing to inherit your promises. Now, that chorus this morning where he covered my shame. Thank God, he did. But see, then you can bring shame back on you by not doing the Word of God. We have that ability. How many... Sometimes we have more ability than we want. Because we have the ability to do wrong. We have the ability to say no to God. We have the ability to just go do whatever the flesh wants to do. We have that ability, but we also have the ability in our spirit to shut the flesh down and do what God said to do because that's what we want to do. See, when you say you want to do something, listen to which one of you is talking. Every time you look in the mirror, there's two of you. I'm not going to answer that one, John. My mind wanted to go somewhere, and I ain't going to let it. How many know your natural mind always has a smart remark? But there's two of you looking back. Which one of you is, when I want to do something, which one is it? The spirit or the flesh? Now, if it's to eat ice cream, you know which one it is. The Holy Ghost wants you to eat ice cream, Lonnie. Hey, that's good, brother. Well, the beautiful thing about that, he may not say no. Ain't nothing wrong with eating ice cream. She reaches over and pats his stomach. I'm sorry, Julie, I shouldn't have repeated that one. Then I shall not be put to shame when I have respect to all your commandments or your instructions and your prescriptions. I have respect. What he's saying there, the word respect means when I am focusing on the Word of God. The word respect there means to focus and to gaze. In other words, you put blinders on. And we used to have horses and when they're plowing, you don't want them seeing what's going on around them. You have blinders on them so they can only see straight ahead. That's what we need for the Word of God. Put some blinders on your flesh and just say, no, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show respect and gaze into the Word of God and see what it has for me today. And especially when things ain't going the way you want them to, that's when you need to gaze into the Word of God because then it'll talk to you. You know, the Word of God will talk to you when things are going good, and he'll talk to you when things are going bad. We just need a little more gaze when it's going bad, because that's when we don't want to. How many have noticed that when you're sick and you're in pain, you just don't care whether you read the Word of God or not? I don't want nothing to do with it. I ain't going to do that. Or am I the only one that's got the problem? And sometimes I let it get away with it. And then I get to reap the benefits, of course, which are negative. Verse 7. I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by sanctified experiences that your righteous judgments, that your decision against and punishments for particular lines of thought and conduct. Now, we're studying in Sunday school on the thinking process, and that scripture fits pretty well. How many of you have had bad thoughts? Has the Lord ever talked to you about them? Pardon? Then you got to know that God knows your thoughts before you speak them. So He knows when they're good and when they're bad, and He's going to try and stop you before you say something you shouldn't. How many of the Lord said, shut up, and you've opened your mouth and talked anyhow? Now, John, or Billy, you're just the only one raising your hand. Everybody's got the problem. He says, I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by experience. I will praise and thank you for the correction. That's what he's saying here. That's what the Word of God will do for you, is He'll correct you, and you need to thank and praise Him for the correction. Wouldn't it be nice if you only had to love people that were lovely? Well, why is it hard to love people when they're mad at you? Because that's what makes you grow spiritually. It isn't when everything's going good that you're growing spiritually. It's when things ain't going good. And you're controlling your flesh and not letting it do what it wants to do. That's when we're growing. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I will keep your statutes. Now, that's a decision by your mind what you're going to do. And His statutes are the mandates that He's prescribed. In other words, they are the prescriptions of the Word of God that God has given you. And now He's saying, I will keep them. I will take these prescriptions. The doctor says for 30 days. Jesus says for the rest of your life. That prescription that you're going to get out of the Word of God when you need it is going to last you for the rest of your life if you apply it. Unless you think that your flesh someday is going to reach perfection and you don't need the Word of God anymore. Anybody think that way? Well, don't look in the mirror then, because it's changing. Oh, the one, oh, forsake me not utterly, is this man's prayer. After he promises to keep the Word of God, then he says, don't let go of me. That's really what that forsake, don't forsake me. Don't let go of me. And we're in trouble if God lets go of you. You're in big trouble. Thank God He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to let go of you. No matter how bad you get, as long as your heart's toward Him, He's not going to let you go. Now, because God has given you a free will, you do have the ability to turn and walk out of God and never come back. You have that ability. That's what the devil did. Now, if you want to spend eternity with him, you do the same thing. But I don't have no intention to spend any time with that jerk. Amen. I don't want to be around him now, let alone in eternity. I'm not going to do that. But he will not let go of you. He will not. Praise God. The second section there, we're going to go into 119 verse 9. It's a cleansing by the Word of God. He says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed and keeping watch on himself according to your word, conforming his life to it. The word cleanse here, it carries the connotation of being pure or cleansed from sin. And in this place, it's missing the mark. How many have missed the mark in your walk with God at one time or another? Not, you said? Oh, you have. Okay. Just checking you out. See, David says, clean me up, cleanse me. See if there be any wicked way in me, he said. Like Pastor said, and he's preached on it, remember, he says, you be careful if you want to do that. You better mean it, because he is going to talk to you about it. And every one of us know that you have something in you that he's got to talk about. Wouldn't that be nice if you never had you'd never missed the mark? Well, yeah, you'd have to go on home and be with the Lord. Nobody could stand you around here. I know some of us, we can't even stand ourselves. You never have a problem with why other people can't stand you because you don't like yourself. Well, I don't in the flesh. Spiritually, I'm fine. I like myself, but I don't like my flesh. Then he says, by taking heed. That means to watch carefully over and to be on one's guard. Well, that's telling you and me that spiritually we have to be on guard watching our flesh every day. All the time. It's... You know, Paul put it this way. He says, I have to die daily. In other words, I have to put the flesh down daily. And then you do a pretty good job and you make it through the day. And the next morning you get up and it's up and ready to go before you got up. That flesh is ready to go. And it has to be put to death again. And the next day, the same thing over and over. It gets old and boring. But he says you have to be on guard over your flesh all the time. That's how you cleanse your way, by taking heed to the Word of God and conforming your life to it. Well, now, see, that word there, that conforming your life to it, means that you conform yourself spiritually and you conform your flesh to your spirit. See, the flesh does not want the Word of God. It doesn't want anything to do with it. You can't get your flesh saved. All you can do is control it. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you, and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully. Good for him. He covered both sides. With my whole heart have I sought you. My whole heart. What about your heart? That's your spirit. And he says, with his whole spirit, he sought God. And his flesh had to follow. See, you got two wills. You got a spiritual will and you got a natural will. The natural will wants to do what the five senses want to do. Your spiritual will and your spiritual five senses want to please God and do what the Word wants to do. And because your flesh knows enough of the Word of God, because you have read it, then it is now becoming devious of how to get around it. How many know that lawyers go to lawyers' school to find out how to get around the law, not keep it? Well, that's the way your flesh is. It's gone to the school of life and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all these things. It's gone to that school and it never wants out. It's just devious on how it can get you to do what's wrong. So here this guy is praying. He's saying, Lord, cleanse me. This is the section of cleansing by the Word. And if you don't keep the Word in front of your flesh, then it's going to find out a way around it for you. How many have had a battle. I'm sorry. How many think sometimes faster than you talk? How many have had a battle between your spirit and your flesh? Those two minds get fighting at each other. Both want their own way. Your spirit knows it's the right way because it's God's way. But your flesh, you don't care. So remember when the pastor was teaching on Cain and Abel, and Abel gave the right sacrifice and Cain gave the wrong sacrifice, and then he got mad and he says, "You want to sacrifice God here?" And he killed Abel. That's how your flesh is. He says, "You want to sacrifice? It will kill your spirit if it's able to." Even being so stupid that it doesn't even understand that if it kills your spirit, your flesh dies. Remember what Dean said when he came back and his flesh says, "Don't you ever do that to me again." He left his body and his body didn't like the experience of going through the hospital, what it had to go through. It didn't like it. So he says, "Don't you ever leave me again." Well, he can't stop that. Your flesh can't stop you from going to heaven. Beautiful thing about it is your flesh can't stop you from getting saved. Praise the Lord. Remember that lesson of the elder shall serve the younger? When Rebecca said, "What's going on in my womb?" And God says, "The elder will serve the younger." That's because your flesh has to serve your spirit. Your flesh was born, then you got born again, and now you're elder brother, your flesh is supposed to now serve your spirit. Your spirit wants to give money to the church and give money to missions and people you see in need. Your flesh don't want to do that. How many have your flesh fight you every time you want to give money away? Your flesh wants it on itself. And here he's praying, "Lord, cleanse me from that kind of thinking." We all need help with that. We're working on it. Working hard, praise God. "With my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you." Well, how do you inquire for and of the Lord and yearn for Him? How do you do that? You make a decision to go after the things of God at all costs. You're going to do what God's called you to do no matter what your flesh wants to do. Part of that is going to church. Part of that is reading your Bible. Part of that is praying. But it's something you make up your mind you're going to do no matter what your flesh wants to do or who tries to stop you. And the earlier and the quicker you make that decision, the better you are off, because now you can build on that decision. Build a habit pattern of doing what God's Word says to do. Build that flesh into the habit pattern of doing it. It don't give your flesh a choice when I'm going to church. It don't have a choice in the matter and hasn't for many, many years. Why? I told it to shut up. It doesn't have, it never will have a choice of where I go and what I do. It's going to be what my spirit wants to do. I didn't understand the Word at the time I made that. I just knew that was the decision I need to make. I knew I needed to make it. Why? Because I had watched older brothers and sisters that made the other decision and what it got them. I didn't want what they got, so I didn't do what they did. Now, that don't take much smarts to figure that one out. I am reaping the fruit of that decision today and enjoying it. I am a blessed, blessed, blessed person. I have a godly wife and a good home and a good church, and I'm in the will of God, and I know what I'm doing, I know where I'm going, and I know how to get there. And I have the peace of God that passes all understanding, and nobody can talk me out of it or have anything to do with that decision because it was final years ago. Amen. And every one of us, I think that's a principle. You need to make up your mind. God is first in every part of your life. That's what He's talking about here. Here's a young man. How do I cleanse my way, Lord? How do I do it? The Word of God. It's really a simple answer. How many have the Bible? I was going to do this when I started and forgot it, so I'm going to do it now. When you were born again, because Jesus died, you inherited His will and testament. How many have a Bible? Hold it up. Okay. this is your copy of your inheritance that Jesus paid for when He died on the cross for you. This is your copy that you have in your hand of your inheritance. Now read it and find out what. Hallelujah. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Turn to John chapter 15, verse 3. This is part of the inheritance. You know, the reason this is so fresh to me in this sense is that I don't know how many of you know little Eddie Windsor. He spoke here a couple times, but I've known him since he was a little kid. And his mother passed away here a couple of weeks ago. And now they have to deal with the inheritance. And Jerry's mom passed away. Now those children deal with the inheritance. Well, I deal with God's inheritance to me every day. This is God's inheritance. You know, when somebody leaves you something, they have to die before you get it. Well, He left you life, and He died and gave it to you. Then He came back alive so He can help you live it. I'd say that's a pretty good deal. Praise God. John 15:3 says, "We are already clean because of the word which I have spoken," or "you are already clean because of the word Jesus is saying that I spoke to you." See, Jesus, for 3.5 years, poured the word of God into those disciples and followers and the people that He preached to. And He says, "This word that I give you has cleaned you up spiritually." Well, you can say as an excuse, which don't mean nothing, "I don't understand it." He didn't tell you to understand it. He said, "Believe it." We walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is understanding. Believing is faith. You read it because you believe it. But if you read it enough, you'll start understanding because it'll come alive inside of you. You can't stop it. Well, it ain't doing that with me. Then you please don't answer me when I ask that question to you, because I'll have to tell you what I tell myself. If I don't understand it after I read it and read it and read it, then it means I'm not reading it. How many know you can read something and not read it? Mean it when you read it. Read it on purpose. Do it because you want it inside of you, and it'll start coming alive. Give yourself about 6 months to a year. In a year's time, you can read this by 4 chapters. You can read it in 10 months and 2 weeks. You can read this whole thing cover to cover. In 10.5 months by reading just 4 chapters a day. Oh, it's a boring in the Old Testament. So what? It's the Word of God. They went, you might be surprised, in the Old Testament you'll find some experiences back there that you're going through and how they got through it. And you'll find some of their anger and attitude at God. You might have the same problem. Ouch. How many have had an attitude with God? Did it do you any good? Well, it did, in the sense that it helped you find out it wasn't God's problem. It was your problem all the time. But God stays right there and loves you anyhow and says, "Well, now that you understand that, I'll help you get out of it." That's the love of God. He's so good to us. Well, I never thought of this before, but you say, "I don't understand the Word of God." Well, let me ask you a question. Do you understand yourself? I want to understand God, but I don't need to understand myself. That don't work that way, does it? He will give you understanding. See, Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 13, verse 11, "It's been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." That's a direct promise of an inheritance to you and me. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of God. The word "mysteries" there means spiritual truths and sacred secrets. God has given that to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the same principle as when you started grade school. How many went through grade school? Okay. Did you go from the first grade to the eighth grade? You did, Bill? In one jump? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't explain that well, did I? But it took you 8 years or more for some of us it took more to get there. And when I remember our daughter came home after going to school the first day and said, well, I don't need to go back, I've learned everything. That's how some of us act with God. See, God will feed you on the first grade level His wisdom and His understanding and His knowledge while you're in the first grade. And you pass that, then you'll go to the second, and He'll give you that ability in the second grade and the third and the fourth and so on. As you grow and mature spiritually, God is not going to give you the understanding of a 12th grader when you're in the first grade because you couldn't know how to use it. Well, it's the same way spiritually. God wants to take you from where you're at and help you to grow up and mature spiritually so He can talk to you on a 12th grade level or on a 20th grade level or whatever you and I are. But I'll guarantee you one thing I've found out after 60 some years of serving the Lord, and that is that you'll never finish on this side. The more I know, the more I know I don't know. Because there's so much in God that, you know, He loves us enough to give you all you can handle. But some days you can't handle much. Because we have an attitude and it ain't the right one. Oh, shut up, John. Go to Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. We're talking about being cleansed and cleaned up by the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 26 and 7, it says that He might sanctify and cleanse her. He's talking about the church, the body of Christ, not denominations. He's talking about the body of Christ. He will sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I'm pretty much convinced that He's not talking about any flesh right there. Because I don't think the flesh will ever get that holy. But your spirit already is. He's already cleansed your spirit. Are you letting Him daily wash you with the Word? Because your flesh has influence on your spirit and it needs to be washed off. The Word of God does that. Because we tend to try and to understand and think the Word of God through with a natural mind, and the Holy Spirit and through the Word has to shut that down so that you're listening spiritually. How many know that you don't hear the voice of God through your natural? You hear it through your spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God talks to your spirit. And He says, my sheep know my voice. Do you know His voice? I learned my wife's voice by talking to her all the time. And because she talks more than I do, and she's listening, she's sitting back there. She always has. I talk a lot when I'm here, but she's the best talker. But I hear her voice, and I know it anywhere, anytime. I have fine-tuned into that voice. Now, she may not agree with all of that, but... I'm getting old and harder of hearing. And I found out I have to turn the TV off or shut the mute button. If she's going to talk to me, mute. I can't listen to both anymore. I used to. I had selective hearing. Come on, Lonnie. I had selective hearing. I lost it. Now, she'll give you the other side of the story if you want to talk to her. That's okay. She'll laugh while she's doing it. But see, the Word of God wants to clean you up. You got to hear His voice. You got to know that voice through the Word of God. If you're just listening for voices, you're in trouble. People that think they have the gift of prophecy and a prophetic call on their life, if they don't control themselves, they will listen to voices besides the Word of God, and they'll give you something they shouldn't. You've got to be careful. Now, I'm not trying to down them or say it's wrong, because they got the call. God bless them. And they can talk to me, but they also got flesh that'll talk in there. See, they need to be washed daily, so the same as I do. It doesn't matter what you're called to do. You've got to listen for the voice of God through the Word of God. Now you're clean through the Word. In other words, if you haven't heard the Word, you're not clean. Verse 7, he says that he might present her to himself a glorious church. That's his glory in you, and we have that in our spirit. Go to 1 Peter 1:22. Again, it's talking about the Word of God. We got to know that when I don't know whether it was David or someone else that wrote this 119th Psalm, it was somebody that was really in tune with God and they wanted His help. And then in the New Testament scriptures read, then we find out how he does that. 1 Peter 1:22 and 3 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." You have purified your souls in obeying the truth. In other words, I guess it's not enough to just read it. Ouch. He says, obey it. That's what cleanses you. Doing the Word. You know, a lot of people... Yeah, I guess I got to say it. There's people getting divorces today because they never did the Word they gave to each other. You can make promises all day long, but if you don't keep them, you're a liar. Ouch. Sorry. It's true. If God didn't keep His Word, would He not be a liar? How many know the devil is a liar? Jesus said He's the father of lies. He never kept a word He said, ever. But we are responsible to keep our Word, and that's what He's saying here. Do the Word. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Easier said than done, right? How many have had to repent before the Lord? There's only one reason I have to repent, because I didn't do the Word. And I've had to do that quite a few times. Go to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. We're going off of Psalms 119, verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you." And I want to use a couple of scriptures here that go along with that. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Boy, that's good, isn't it? There he's making the separation between your spirit and your flesh. Trust in the Lord with your heart. Have faith in the Lord. Walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Or the fleshly five senses. Lean not to your own understanding. You have fleshly understanding. How many have really thought they understood a scripture and got a hold of it, and then God gave you the revelation of it? Thank God He did, you know. And I'm not saying what you knew was wrong, but He wanted to give you more light on where you're at. See, if you have a headlight on your car, thank God that headlight goes with you, because when you're going down a dark road, it's always in front of you. Well, what if the light fell off back there and you're out here in the dark and you don't know where you're going, but you think you do? See, the Word of God is your headlight. And he's the one that keeps the light going. You just draw off of him and he keeps that light out in front of you. Praise the Lord. The only way I found out to drive at night without no headlights is when there's a full moon with snow on the ground. I did that just for the fun of doing it. You know, I was young and stupid, but I did it. I don't do that anymore, but I sure had fun when I... You're right, there wasn't anybody else on the road. We lived out in the country, in the middle of nowhere, where some people think it's the middle of nowhere, but it was home to us, and we loved it. You got a foot of ground on the foot of snow on the ground, and it's a full moon, and there ain't a cloud in the sky, and it's almost as bright as day out there. You just turn the lights off and enjoy your... But it wasn't the sunshine, but it was the reflection off of the moon, and it gave us moonlight, so it was still God's light showing me where to go. It wasn't my own. That's good. Praise God. But anyhow, that was just a side thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Do you? That's a good question, Lord. Do you own your understanding? That's what it said. Do you own your understanding? That's a good question. We're talking about thinking processes in Sunday school. I didn't think of that up there. My own understanding, my trouble is with my natural understanding, it ain't no good. My natural understanding is not based on the Word of God. My spiritual understanding is. So if I own my understanding, it ain't no good. That kind of understanding is no good. Well, yeah, but you use it in this natural world. Yeah, you do. But you might learn something new tomorrow, and then you got to change your understanding. How many know everything there is to know in the natural about everybody? Got a long ways to go, don't we? Well, we do spiritually the same way. We've got a long ways to go, but we are on the road, and the Word of God keeps us on the right track. Do not lean on your own understanding. Now, verse 6 is how you do that. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. What does that do with the statement, I did it my way? Kind of wipes that one out, doesn't it? He says, do it His way. He will direct your paths. Well, then now you got to make a decision. Would you rather have His path or your path? How many times has your path got you in trouble? And how many times has His path got you out of that trouble you got yourself into? So then His word is right. He shall direct your paths, but you got to acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. See, isn't God interesting? He always gives you a road map. He gives you directions. Well, if He gives you directions and a road map, why don't you follow it? New concept, isn't it? Shut up. I'm talking to myself, not you. Jeremiah 29:11. Now we're getting... We like this verse. Jeremiah 29:11-13. We really like this verse because it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Man, I love that verse. I love His thoughts towards me. Well, what are your thoughts towards Him? Gimme, gimme, gimme. You do it all. Your disobedience will not change His thoughts towards you for good, but they will delay them. Did you know you can stop the blessings of God in your life through disobedience? He's a good father. How many of you have corrected your children, and when they don't obey, you have to do something about it? You've got to teach them that what they did is not good. Did you know, as a parent, that if you don't correct your children, then they're going to think what they do is okay when it's wrong and it's your fault? I'm not going into that. Well, we've got a whole system in America today that our children are paying the price because their parents didn't teach them right from wrong. A whole school system. Anyhow, leave that alone. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. Now these are good thoughts to have. These are how the Lord cleans us. This is how He cleanses us through His Word and our thinking process. And when we go and talk to Him, ask Him. Now, He promised right there, and can God's Word change? But He said there, I will listen to you. Now, we're talking about two kinds of listening or hearing here. He hears and knows every thought we ever think. But when we're praying and talking to Him, He's listening to that in the context of where you're at that specific time and what you need that day and what He wants to do in your heart and life that day and how He wants to answer that need specifically at that time. See, God can get very focused. When we get focused on Him, then He can focus on us. Too many times we treat God like a what? Fast food, a $10 bill, whatever you want to call it. You don't use it till you need it. That's many times how we treat God. Well, God wants to be your friend. Is a friend all the time or just when you're in need? No, it's all the time. He's always your friend, but He needs you to be His friend. Do you ever think about that? See, a friend is a friend when they're in need. Now, we know God's not in need except for the fact that He needs your love and your respect and you that you care about Him. He needs that. We miss people when they're gone. Jerry and his sisters, Tammy, all of them, that was a loving family, and that's wonderful. And you miss that return of that love. You can't have that now. You'll get it up there, but you can't have it right now because that person is gone. And when we walk away from God, He misses your love and your presence and your caring for Him. He cares for you. He listens for your voice. You ever think about that? If you love somebody, you love to hear their voice. You miss it when it ain't there. Well, God wants to hear your voice. He misses you when you don't come and talk to Him. It tickled me when Pastor, you know, he'd been walking cold with God for a few years, and he went and started praying, and the Lord says, "Hello." In other words, I ain't heard you for a long time. Who are you? I hope you're not that far away from God. You seek me and find me with all your heart. That word, oh, let me not wander, this is the language of a heart where there is a consciousness of its weakness and its liability to err, strong as may be its purpose to do right. In other words, no matter how strong it wants to, your consciousness and your thinking process recognizes you have a weakness in you and a liability in you, and you want God. This is what He's saying. God, help me in my areas of weakness. When I wander and I don't always stay close to you and do what I should, He's saying, don't let me wander from you. Help me when I do that. And that should be the cry of our heart. It doesn't change the responsibility. Sure, it's our responsibility to stay close to the Lord. But we don't always do what we should do, do we? I wished I did. Well, He loves you enough. He's going to love you whether you do or you don't. It's a good thing. Let's go back in your notes, Psalms 119, verse 10. Then we're going to close. With my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, from your commandments or your prescriptions. I'm going to close right there. Praise God for His Word. I hope I've stirred up a hunger for you for the Word of God today. That's been my desire. Let's stand. Pray and believe that you'll have a good rest of the day. Go home and enjoy loved ones, friends, and the time off. Is anyone here that wants to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? I ask that you would come forward at this time and receive the Lord. Or you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. If you're hungry for any of that, I didn't really touch on that this morning, but we want to have that invitation open. So if you want to receive from the Lord, you are welcome to come forward. And after service, if you want prayer for healing or anything like that, then you're welcome to come up for that also. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your sweet presence here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that there's no vacation from the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. No matter where we go, what we do, Jesus, you're with us. You love us. You're walking inside of us and teaching us your ways. Father, thank you for this day. I pray you bless these precious people. Give them a safe journey home and have a good day in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. God bless you.